My name is Brian Panth,
and today is 7 May, about 5:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. I'm in California, and Ashley is in South Carolina.
I'm interviewing my colleague, Ashley Hampton, who is 25 and resides in Anderson, South Carolina. Ashley is pursuing her graduate degree in global and North American history, as she's always been interested in various kinds of history, especially ancient history when she was younger. Before we begin, I just want to confirm that you have read over the informed consent titled Informed Consent, COVID-19 Oral History Project, and the Deed of Lieu, and that you agree with all the terms, conditions, and guidelines for those who voluntarily participate in the oral histories for the Journal of the Plague Year, a COVID-19 archive. Do you consent to this?
Yes, I consent.
All right, great. Well, we'll go ahead and get started. Prior to taking this History 580 archive course, did you have any prior archiving experience?
Yes. So during my last year of my undergraduate, I had did two internships that summer. I wound up going up to summer school because I wanted to graduate within like four and a half years. And so I was like, I was trying to, you know, make the mark so I didn't have to, you know, take out loans. So I did summer school and I was like, I saw that they had two intern classes there that they offered at my undergraduate. So I took, I did an internship with the Anderson County Museum in Anderson, South Carolina. And they're just a local town residential museum. And I helped the main curator there, Dustin Norris. And then later on that summer, I did another internship at the Clemson African American Cultural Museum. And my directors there were husband and wife, Pam and Robert Kemp. And I helped them with both their curation and their administrative positions there. So.
Okay, great. So what interests you in taking this archiving internship?
So those previous archival internships I felt like were really fun and just awesome experiences. So that really just interested me, honestly, to want to pursue it and take it again. Definitely, it made me interested in learning the field in more of a greater depth. Because both internships were more like an introduction into the field. But later on, I did ultimately decide that I wanted to do more of the historic preservation side because I received some information about that from Dustin and a couple of the other faculty at the Anderson County Museum. So I understand while those are two different disciplines, the preservation still requires a lot of research, analysis, record keeping, and general curation knowledge, which are all skills you learn from the archives.
Okay, great. What has been your favorite skill to learn so far in this archiving course?
Curation, because even with my personal, you know, experience as being a legal assistant at law firms, I just really love data entry and organization. Like, it's just really my jazz. I just really like, you know, being behind the scenes and putting stuff together and drafting up, you know. Because to me, it's almost like legal work with drafting. You're just putting stuff together and you're making it look nice and neat for the final, you know, product.
Definitely. What skill has been the most challenging to learn in this course?
Definitely the oral histories. There's a lot of legality and ethical procedures that you must constantly keep in the back of your head while you're doing it. Also, transcribing is very much time consuming. And then having to go and listen to the audios as well to redact and stuff can be a little bit taxing at times because you have to make sure you get at the particular minute mark and so forth, but also remember, like, which qualifies as being, you know, what information qualifies for being redacted and what doesn't. So it's just a lot of details you have to remember. It's very detailed work.
So. For sure. So after talking about the challenging stuff, what has been the most easiest aspect of working on this archive?
I would say definitely the curation and the revising metadata side.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so we're going to shift the interview here a little bit and try to focus more on some COVID-related questions. So first of all, how has your work life changed throughout the lockdowns and COVID?
So my work life, I remember when January, when it first took off, and just sitting down at, you know, at home and seeing it on the news, COVID, and I was like, oh, what is this? And just thinking like, oh, this is, you know, one of those type of like flu viruses is just going to kind of blow over. And I didn't really think it was going to impact my work life like that until literally, you know, rumors in February started circulating around of like, oh, you know, the Trump administration, like, you know, the government's going to shut down the, you know, country for this. And I was like, oh, wow, this is getting pretty serious. And I'm just thinking, like, you know, what's going to happen with our jobs? And just the rumors, you know, got more and more true. And then I remember my our boss, like, kind of just pulling us all in, like, a little huddle when we were closing down. I was actually a supervisor at a retailer when this happened. They were like, yeah, so basically we're about to shut down and get ready and file for unemployment because, you know, you will be laid off. And I was just like, oh, wow, this is very, you know, different because I never, you know, experienced a layoff before. But it was really interesting for my first experience of being laid off to happen with the pandemic. It was definitely a different situation. But one thing that did happen, though, was because of the fact that businesses were shut down, but essential businesses like grocery stores and, you know, home improvement warehouses were needing workers and needing to still be open to fit the, you know, public. I was able to get another job really pretty easily because of that. But then again, because of the fact that they really just needed people to help out. And they necessarily didn't want to hire people in because then they didn't know how businesses were going to, you know, keep their funds at bay with everything that was going on. Yeah, the jobs did very much let you know from the beginning, like, this is only temporary. And basically when the government mandate for being shut down was lifted, that they were going to just, you know, let us go, which they ultimately did. But luckily, you know, since I was just, you know, laid off from my job for a minute, I was able to go back to my regular job. And it was just so different. I had to go all the time, every day, and get a temperature check. I remember wearing gloves because I was handling money and wearing, you know, face masks all the time. And for about over a year and a half, the fitting rooms were shut down. So nobody could ever try on clothes. So we had refunds, like, we just had a massive amount of refunds, because, you know, people couldn't try stuff on in the building, so they would have to go home, and it's just a lot of, refunds. So I personally, on the business side, I don't know how that affected with the business and, like, their sales, but I know it was just, you know, really, just a lot for the workers that were working there, because we would have mountain piles. I know, because I work at a clothing retailer, we would have mountain piles of clothes that we would have to basically quarantine, as they called it, when we would, like, basically, you know, put them to the side for a couple of days and not let people, you know, wear them or, like, purchase them for a couple of days and then put them back out on the floor. But yeah, we had that for months on end while I was working there, so.
Wow. So kind of spinning again here a little bit, has COVID impacted your family life, or has that changed at all?
So during the first year, when the pandemic started in 2020. Me and my family, I think, only, like, gathered twice. And that was because I think it was my grandmother's birthday, and then it was some other occasion. And I don't even think I was able to even make it to those two because I was working. But we did not see each other at all for a whole year. And that was pretty much not just me with my family, but, like, the whole entire family was not, like, visiting or seeing each other at all. And it was just extremely weird because, like, a lot of my family resides in Atlanta. And, you know, they live, you know, a pretty reasonable driving distance from each other. But they weren't even seeing each other either. And, you know, it was just really different because they're really, like, you know, close-knit over there. And just not seeing, you know, being able to go and visit each other every other weekend or go to church together was just really different. But later on, one of my uncles and aunts had kind of, like, worked their way around and started doing, like, Zoom meetings and prayer meetings through the phone and stuff. So that's when we got to see each other a little bit more. And then eventually as time progressed and, like, the scare of, like, COVID started to digress a little bit more and more, the more we started to try to, like, gather for, like, holidays. So just recently I just had Thanksgiving with them last year. And then I had Christmas with my intermediate family. So now we see each other back more on a regular basis. But, like, that whole first year, we were not seeing each other at all. So,
yeah, definitely. I understand that. How is, like, COVID and lockdown and everything like that, how has that affected or has that affected your schooling in any way?
So the only real difference I could really say is just that initially I was going to do grad school in person, but because of what COVID had happened and everything, I was really, like, just fearful of, like, trying to, like, you know, because I have a sister that resides in Arizona, so I was planning on, like, actually moving out with her and, like, trying to go to ASU through there, but because of the fact that COVID was so, you know, severe, that it made me just really, like, paranoid about moving across the country and trying to make that move to, like, try to do grad school. So if that's the reason, part of the reason why I chose to do it online. But it has been beneficial to do it online in ways, you know, just kind of with time management and scheduling, it's a lot easier versus having to drive somewhere in person or be there in person. But, yeah, it did impact, like, my overall decision of, like, how I chose to do schooling.
Yeah, for sure. So do you think COVID is going to have any future impacts on your life?
So I think that COVID might have future impacts on what line of work I may be in, because if I go ahead and choose to forward and pursue historic preservation. I know the housing market has been a little bit, like, rocky due both to inflation and COVID right now. So, you know, since their main objective is not necessarily just looking for newer homes, but you're looking for older homes, historical, you know, buildings or monuments, and trying to see if they qualify to be on the National Registry, that still might pose issues with, like, the protocols that need to be checked and said and done or operated with these homes. And, you know, there it might be an effect on, like, whether or not they see that building or that, you know, house as a potential biohazard for, like, spreading disease, you know, considering on how old it is and not how great the circulation and ventilation is. So I definitely see it in terms of, like, the historic preservation aspect affecting that. In terms of, like, teaching, which I've also considered as well, I think it's probably still going to continue, like, affecting class sizes. And people who want to continue to pursue higher education, because there's going to be still some people who have autoimmune diseases or just are very fearful about the disease itself who don't choose to do, you know, in-person schooling anymore. So it still might have eventual effect on class sizes for a long while until basically something kind of almost eradicates it, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And so this actually ties into my next question, Greg, because you did talk just a little bit about it. But what are kind of your goals, and what do you want to pursue after you complete your graduate degree here?
So what I want to pursue is while I am a set determined on this, I like to keep my options, you know, open or whatever. So that's why I kind of am floating out multiple ideas. But my main focus is trying to get into historic preservation. South Carolina actually has like a pretty decent market in historic preservation just because we're in the Old South and there's a lot of buildings that need to be, you know, preserved. But that was my main focus of what I wanted to do after graduation is going to the historic preservation sector. But since that is a really highly competitive field and usually the people who choose careers in that and stay in that, that's why I've also already have decided that I want to do adjunct, you know, teaching with, you know, at either a technical college or at a small university. So with that, I just want to basically either teach, like, you know, a global history class that focuses on, like, ancient civilizations or teach a North American history, you know, class that teaches, like, you know, about, oh, and it kind of leads ways into, like, environmental history or whatever and stuff like that and everything. But I want to teach more, like, local histories, particularly about, like, what goes on in Anderson. If there was a way I could kind of, like, do something like that, I feel like that would be pretty cool because, you know, and it ties into the public history factor because, you know, I feel like a lot of courses teach you kind of like the mainstream and bigger picture sort of histories, but there's not a lot of focus on like South Carolina history or like residential histories, you know, and, you know, academia, higher academia. And I would like to incorporate that again because while, you know, definitely every narrative is important, I feel like it's definitely important to know the narrative that surrounds you the most, which is your local resident. So I think that would be interesting as well.
Yeah, that's a really good point. All right, this is my second to last question here. I'm just going to swing us back to archiving a little bit. How has your archiving experience, both before this course and taking this course, how has that impacted your overall view of history?
Overall, it's definitely taught me that history is flexible and definitely what you make it. The reason why I phrase it like that, because being in the archives, I've learned it's very hands-on. That's one of the reasons why I actually fell in love with it. It's just because you really are the participant as much as you are the historian, behind the whole collection in the library. Like, just as, you know, here with, interacting with all my peers and with Sarah and Dr. Cole, I very much have felt that while we have been part of the works of, like, the archive with our meetings and communicating with each other on Slack and creating collection ideas and curating notes, we have also created items for the archive itself. And, you know, I don't feel like a lot of, you know, other fields can sit there and say that they're also students as well as teachers in their, like, you know, in their job. But I feel like very much with the archives, without anything else, that's what you are. And overall, I feel like whether or not I choose to decide to do historic preservation or teaching, that I'm going to keep that with me to remember to always be a student as much as I am, like, a, you know, professor or, you know, a expert in the profession. I want to continue to learn. I want to continue to expand my craft, and I want to continue to contribute to the field as much as I am you know, participating in it. So.
Yeah, definitely. All right. So my last question is just, is there anything that I didn't cover that you'd like to discuss before we end the interview?
No, I mean, overall, I would just like to say that I really have enjoyed doing this internship. I feel like I definitely learned a lot. Like you said during your interview, the technology that's really behind the archive, because I've literally have sat, you know, and the, you know, meetings and just behind my computer, I've just been like, wow, this is really cool. I didn't really know that the archive was really this technologically advanced in this way and everything. And it's just really cool to see how, you know, digitizing and like how the internet has really like changed this whole field and to a whole different level, has taken it to a whole different level. So yeah. I would just like to end with that comment, but other than that, I don't have anything else to say.
All right, great. Well, thank you, Ashley, for taking the time to do this interview, and we'll talk to you later.
All right, thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.